Charya Shakshat Shimadesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prajakacharya Shakshat Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome devotees this morning to Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are reading from 5th canto, chapter 20, entitled The Structure of the Universe, text 7 to 17. We have series of verses without purport and description of different islands on Bhumandala. So the verses are also in prose, so I'll just read myself and then we'll go accordingly, and I think for each verse I will speak something rather than completing the whole verses together. The first verse, text 7. Palaksha swa samane nekshu raso dena vrato yatha tatha Dvipopi shalmalo dvi guna vishala samanena suradena vrata parivrinkate. Translation: Palaksha dvip is surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there is then another island, Shalmala dvip, twice as broad as Palaksha dvip, that is 4 lakh yojanas or 32 lakh miles, and surrounded by an equally broad body of waters called Surasagar, the ocean that tastes like liquor. Text 8, translation: On Shalmala Dweep, there is Shalmali tree from which the island takes its name. That tree is as broad and tall as Palaksha tree. In other words, 100 yojanas, 800 miles broad, and 1100 yojanas, 8800 miles tall. Learned scholars say that this gigantic tree is the residence of Garuda, the king of all birds and carrier of Lord Vishnu. At that tree, Garuda offers Lord Vishnu his Vedic prayers. Text 9. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata, named Yajna Bahu, the master of Shalmala Deep, divided the island into 7 tracts of land which he gave to his 7 sons. The names of these divisions, which correspond to the names of the sons, are Surochana, Somanasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Paribhadra, Apiyayana, and Avikyata. Text 10. In those tracts of land, there are 7 mountains: Swarasa, Shatashringa, Vamadeva, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpavarsha, and Sahasrashruti. There are also 7 rivers: Anumati, Sinivali, Saraswati, Kuhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Raka. They are still existing. Text 11. Strictly following the cult of Varnashrama Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands, who are known as Shrutidharas, Viradharas, Vasundharas, and Ishandharas, all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, named Moon, named Sun, the Moon God, Soma, the Moon God. Text 11 has a small purport. स्वगोभि पितृदेवेभ्यो विभाजन कृष्ण शुक्लयो प्रजानां सर्वासं राजा अंध सोमो न आस्तवैति. द इनहेबिटेंट्स ऑफ शाल्मलद्वीप वर्शिप द डेमिगॉड्स ऑफ द मून. जय श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी भगवान की, जय श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय. The inhabitants of Shalmaladweep worship the demigods of the moon in the following words. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights known as Shukla and Krishna for the distribution of food grains to the pitas and demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. Text 13. Outside the ocean of the liquor is another island known as Kushadvipa, which is 8 lakh yojanas, that is 64 lakh miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. As Shalmaladweep is surrounded by a liquor ocean, Kushadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee as broad as island itself. On Kushadvipa there are clumps of Kusha grass from which the island takes its name. This Kusha grass, which was created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all the directions. Purport. From the description in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames of the moon. Like the sun, the moon must also be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. The flames of the moon, however, unlike those on the sun, must be mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakri Thakur says, Sushaspani sukamol sukamala shikhas tesham rochisha. The Kusha grass illuminates all the directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. There are just few more verses we'll take. Text 14. O king, another son of Maharaj Priyavrat, Hiranyaretha, was the king of this island. He divided it into 7 parts, which he delivered to his 7 sons according to the rites of inheritance. The king then retired from the family life to engage in austerities. The names of those sons are Vasu, Vasudhan, Dhridharuchi, Stutyavrata, Nabhigupta, Vivikta and Vamdev. Next 15. In those 7 islands there are 7 boundary mountains known as Chakra, Chatushringa, Kapila, Chitrakuta, Devanika, Urdhvaroma and Dravina. There are also 7 rivers known as Ramyakulya, Madhukulya, Mitravinda, Shrutavinda, Devagarbha, Grhatyachuta and Mantramala. Text 16. The inhabitants of the island of Kushadvipa are celebrated as the Kushalas, Kovidas, Abhyuktas and Kulakas. They are like the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras respectively. By bathing in the waters of those rivers, they all become purified. They are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies according to the orders of the Vedic scriptures. Thus they worship the Lord in his aspect as a demigod of fire. Text 17 and the final verse. Parasya brahmana saksad sakshad jata vedo vasi havyayavat devana purusanganam yagnena purusham yajeti. Translation: This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Kusha Dweep worship the fire god. O fire god, you are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, and you carry to him all the offerings of sacrifices. Therefore, we request you to offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead the yajnik ingredients we are offering the demigods, for the Lord is the real enjoyer. Purport: By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Rupada Ki Jai. The demigods are the servants who assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the demigods as the servants of the Supreme carry the sacrificial offerings to the Lord, like tax collectors collecting revenue from the citizens and bringing it to the government's treasury. The demigods cannot accept the sacrificial offerings. They simply carry the offerings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Srila Vishwanatha Chakrit Thakur, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadat. Since the Guru is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he carries to the Lord whatever is offered to him. Similarly, all the demigods as faithful servants of the Supreme Lord hand over to the Supreme Lord whatever is offered to him in sacrificial performances. There is no fault in worshipping the demigods with this understanding. But to think that the demigods are independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and equal to him is called Ritta Jnana, a loss of intelligence, referring to Kameshtaishtir Ritta Jnana. One who thinks that the demigods themselves are the actual benefactor is mistaken. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanostute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I would like to welcome devotees and guests once again. So this is quite a technical session going on for quite some time. So here we are getting into the description of the material universe in which we are staying, Brahmanda. There are many Brahmands. This fifth canto, which is talking about sthanam, each of the 12 cantos explains different aspects of the Lord, and this particular canto explains the place of shelter, accommodation or position where all the jivas are staying in this material world, which presently may not be visible to our naked eyes or with the modern instruments, with our latest technical advancement. Because Shastra has explained, there is something called karmic qualification, that one needs a qualification. You need to qualify yourself to gain knowledge. That is how this Vedic knowledge or spiritual knowledge works. We cannot demand that I want to see things. That's what Prabhupada also said, no, like he quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that always work in such a way that Lord wants to see you, and you cannot see yourself at your will to the Lord. And he just explained the analogy that how you cannot go and demand in dead of night that you want to see sun. If you wait for some time, the sun will rise on its own and then you can see. So same way is the Vedic knowledge. It is revealed. We cannot demand that I want to see it at my will. One has to follow certain sadhana and gain qualifications regarding it. Up till 5000 years back and recently in Kali Yuga also, this is exhibited by our acharyas. In 5000 years, Mahabharata and others explain of this structure very explicitly. Pandavas going to exile and going to different islands, as mentioned in these verses. And in recent time, we get to hear about Madhavacharya, who from where we begin our lineage. So Madhavacharya happened to take initiation from Vyasdev, and he happened to travel to Uttarkashi, you know, from Himalayas directly at his higher will. One of his disciples tried to follow him, but he got stuck in the way where he started calling for help, and Madhavacharya looked behind and waved his shawl. Just by that movement of his shawl, the disciple flew back to a safe place on this Himalaya mountain peak, and he traveled ahead to meet Vyasdev, who is still residing there. So presently we are like, in a way, due to the degradation of age, now we are like quarantined from the external universe. What to speak about the heavens or the planets which are above Earth, but in the similar close vicinity itself, we don't have access. Of course, different theories keep coming, but let's focus here. So one of the reasons for Bhagavatam talks more of a philosophical and spiritual perspective rather than phenomenal experience which can be felt by our senses. But still, in these chapters, it gives certain dimensions, certain like figures where we can find different things. Mainly, one of the reasons is to exhibit that how Lord is in complete control of everything happening. Of course, he has delegated to his energies who are taking control of this material world and its actions. But he is completely aware of the whole creation which is there, besides the spiritual world where he is personally exhibiting his pastimes. In this material world, he comes time to time to attract his devotees and get them back to the spiritual world. But his external energy is also equally powerful and not very easily understood. The shastras explain, there are other shastras like Vayu Puran is there, Agni Puran is there. We give more details of these geographical locations. They explain that even Brahma gets bewildered, no, exploring this whole material world. So Brahma is considered to be the topmost being in the material world, and he is the original engineer who does the secondary creation after the Lord creates ingredients in his primary creation. So even he gets bewildered in this material creation. So what to speak of normal jivas who are trying to understand this material world with their limited senses, limited lifespan, and very uncertain lifestyle. So, another aspect Bhagavatam explains of these geographical details is that wherever you go in the material world, you will find Lord's incarnations, his expansions as the prominent personalities out there or the deities residing out there. And he is also followed by his servants. So before this chapters, we had a whole session of prayers actually by different personalities of the respective island. So, like we just were talking about Jambudvip, and Jambudvip is just the center, the first island, and similarly there are six other islands surrounding Jambudvip. Jambudvip is an island with the water on all four sides, all directions. Other dweeps are like concentric circles with larger, twice the diameter from the inside island. And these islands actually are surrounded by respective whatever water, no, like milk ocean or emulsified butter, that is ghee ocean or liquor ocean on two sides. So they are called dweeps. So Jambudweep is the center one. And here the terminology dweep, as we know, is known as island, which is surrounded by waters on all sides. And other terminology used is varsha. Varsha is the tract of the land which is surrounded by mountains on both sides, and that is how the geography is explained. The varsha may also be surrounded by water and on one side and a mountain on other side, or mountain on both sides. But dvipa is surrounded by water from all sides. So in Jambudvip itself, now so far we covered like there are nine varshas with key inhabitants and the important personalities out there offering prayers. So as we spoke, like why is this details given, is one of the aspect the acharyas explain is to show presence of Lord everywhere. So all these planets everywhere on are occupied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his expansions. So first in the Jambudvip, we have nine varshas or nine different tracts of lands, which goes from Ilavrata Varsha, Bhadra Varsha, Harivarsha, Ketumala Varsha, Ramyaka Varsha, Hiranyamaya Varsha, Kuru Varsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, Bharata Varsha, where we are presently, this is Bharata Varsha. And the presiding deities or the expansions of the Lord or incarnations of the Lord which reside in these places are Lord Sankarshan, Lord Hayagriva, Lord Narasimha, Lord Pradyumna or Kamdeva, Lord Matsya, Lord Kurma, Lord Varaha, Lord Ram, and Nar Narayana Rishis. And they are respectively offered prayer or worshipped at these varshas by Lord Shiva, Bhadrashrava, Prahlad Maharaj, Mother Lakshmi, Vaivasvat Manu, Aryamma, Mother Earth, Hanumanji, and Narad Muni itself. So these all comprise of Jambudvip, and outside Jambudvip comes the other Varshas accordingly. Yeah. So outside Jambudvip is Palakshadvip. Outside this is all on the surface of Bhumandal. Bhumandal is the topmost layer of the hemisphere of the Brahmand. Brahmand, to just brief up, can be divided into two parts. The bottom part is a hemisphere, that is a half, you can say, football, floating on a water below it, where the Garbhagdaksha ocean is there and Garbhagdaksha Vishnu is lying down. About in this hemisphere, the topmost layer is Bhumandala, and above Bhumandala, of course, goes to the, its till top is empty and it has comprises of the heavenly planets. So we are talking just currently in this chapter of the topmost layer of the hemisphere, which is known as Bhumandala, which comprises of seven islands and seven oceans. So first, we so far covered Jambudvipa, which has oceans surrounding it as salt water. And next is Palakshadvipa, which has ocean surrounding sugarcane juice, then Shalmali Dvipa with liquor surrounding it, Kusha Dvipa, clarified butter or ghee surrounding it, Karancha Dvipa is surrounded by milk ocean, Shaka Dvipa is emulsified yogurt, that is buttermilk you can say, surrounding Shaka Dvipa, and Pushkara Dvipa, it's surrounded by sweet drinking water. Now, the only first Jambudvip is the island as we have that conception, and where we are located in its out of nine Varsha, that is Bharat Varsha, we are located at one corner in Bharat Varsha. And so far we spoke about in detail, and that's what Bhagavatam talks about more detail. The other islands and other oceans are concentric in shape. Concentric is like they are having the common center with Mount Meru as a center, and their diameters or radius goes increasing outside radially, they are increasing twice the previous one, and that's how the whole Bhumandal surface is made up. And all these islands, as we spoke about, Jambudvipa has different mountains and different rivers. These outside dvipas or islands also have their respective seven mountains and seven rivers with inhabitants occupying there also. So it's very interesting. We also read in one of the purports here that there are different category of people staying in all these different seven islands. Just in Bharatvarsha, as we categorize in Varnashrama as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. So there are like these categories of people existing in all other six dvipas as well, but they are named in different ways. Like in Palakshadvip, the inhabitants are categorized as Hamsas, Patangas, Urdhvayanas, Satyangas. In Shalmali Dvip, they are categorized as Shutidharas, Viryadharas, Vasundharas, Ishandharas. In Kushadvip, they are categorized as Kushalas, Kovidas, Abhyuktas, Kulakas. In Kranchadvip, they are categorized as Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas, Devakas. In Shakadvip, they are categorized as Ritavrata, Satyavrata, Danavrata, Anuvrata. So, So these are just like the category of different broad category of human beings staying, just as we have Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And that was what Prabhupada had, one of the opinions that no matter you want to bring equality, but there will be always four kind of people staying in the creation because of their inclinations and nature. And that is how Bhagavad Gita also explains that Krishna is telling Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam, like it is a creation of the Lord Himself personally, and that's very logical. And when Prabhupada was in Russia, they were talking about like so-called casteism that has ruined India, and that there's a fact also to it, but it's only because it was not monitored properly by the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas, that is the upper classes. That whole thing has fell down, and like now there's no proper order. So Prabhupada always promoted for Devi Varnashrama, where everyone does everything, and that is mainly for as services to the Lord, and that's where Yukta Vairagya comes. But there is also certain category, of course everyone has different inclinations, but Krishna is the center. So just like in Jambudvipa, which comprises of nine varshas, I spoke of how there are different deities or expansions of the Lords, just like Lord Narasimha, Lord Ram, Narayan Rishis, and others, their devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Hanumanji, Narad Muni, praying them. To this rest of the islands also, that is Dvipas, also there are different demigods, they are worshipped, or devatas, they are being worshipped. Like for Plakshadvipa, that's the immediate next Dvipa, Lord Surya is worshipped. Of course, as an expansion of Lord Vishnu, he is considered as eye of the Lord, one eye of the Lord. Next, Shalmalidvipa is where Lord Soma or Moon God is worshipped. Kushadvipa, Agni is worshipped, Lord of Fire. Kranchadvipa, Varuna is worshipped, Lord of Waters. Shakadvipa, Vayudev is worshipped, Lord of Air. And Pushkardvipa, Brahmaji himself is worshipped. So in Pushkardvipa, there is a big lotus where it is said when Lord Brahma comes, he rests at that place. Pushkar also means lotus, lotus flower, and we know that in the whole universe, if we compare, the Bhagavatam explains the whole universe can be compared to a lotus flower with a big leaflet. So we see a lotus in the water, it has a stalk, and above is the lotus flower. Below is a big lotus leaf. So the lotus leaf, which is supporting the whole flower, is considered to be Bhumandal, which is on the water floating. The stalk above, which carries the flower above, consists of seven upper planetary systems. They are divided. And above, of course, leading to the topmost heavenly planet, that is where Brahmaji is staying on the topmost lotus flower and is meditating. Besides that, Brahmaji also stays on this Pushkardvipa on a big lotus flower. Besides that, Brahmaji also stays on top of the Mount Meru in the center, which is occupied by eight lokpalas, that is eight main devatas like Indra, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, Lord of Death, and like these also on the top of the Mount Meru. That is where we hear when we get to know of this Mount Meru, when Ganges flows from the heavenly realm, from the sky above, that is from the Garbhodak ocean, where it is the Brahmand is pierced by the toenail of Vamandev. That is where it flows through his feet and comes into this material world, Brahmand, and then crosses over different heavenly realms, Brahmaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and others down bottom, and on Jambudvip first falls on Mount Meru, also known as Sumeru. And that is how it divides there into four different parts, and it's known by different names. And that is how it goes further ahead in different tracks, different varshas. So, this more details will come gradually. Just we'll go a little behind the history of this tract of land. One reason for Bhumandal having seven islands is and seven oceans is given the spiritual pastime. Just like every material happening has a spiritual reason which occurred. So there's some pastime where exactly I don't remember the reference, but where Srimati Radharani catches Krishna with Vaitarana as a, one of the gopis, and there is a fight and she is cursed to come to the material world. That is where the Vaitarana ocean is there with her seven sons. That was seven oceans that formed in the material world. That is the reason there are seven these oceans in the material world. Another reason for Bhumandal having seven oceans is connected to Priyavrat Maharaj. Actually, Priyavrat Maharaj is the hardcore reason for creating these seven oceans and seven islands which come up. Now it's explained that Priyavrat Maharaj once became satisfied with the movement of the sun around Mount Meru. So the center is Mount Meru. Towards, if we go by a tract of lands, there is one mountain which comes near Plakshadvipa. Which comes near Plakshadvipa is just the immediate one, but it comes in near Kronchadvipa and Pushkara Dvipa. There is a mountain known as Mansotra Mountain, mountain ranges. This mountain is the tract which carries the one wheel of the sun god. Now it's again very fascinating that Bhagavatam explains the movement of the sun on a one chariot with one wheel, with the center connected to Mount Meru, and another it has connection to the Dhruva Loka. But normally the conception of planets is an independent existence of a ball floating in air. But Bhagavatam explains that these globes or balls are actually being pulled by chariots. Even just as sun is explained with moving on a chariot with one wheel, our shastras all explain. Moon is also having one wheel and with being drawn by different horses. You can get more detail about that in Ramayana also, that how Hanuman ji gained knowledge from Suryadev. Just he was, you know, sitting facing towards the Surya, running in the reverse direction, and that's how he gained his knowledge from Suryadev. So Suryadev runs on this tract of land, and when it runs on one side, the other side remains dark. It's almost like semi-circle, like semi-earth remains dark. So Priyavrat Maharaj, it's like long back, this is Satyuga. Of course, after Uttanapat, you know, had no heirs, and the kings there, Manu had to make Priyavrat Maharaj as the next emperor. So Priyavrat Maharaj once became dissatisfied with the movement of the sun god around Mount Meru, as he lit up half the surface of the earth while the other half remained dark. So Priyavrat followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire, making night into day. So his mainly dissatisfaction was that while half of the world remains in dark, the other is only lit up. Actually, to be just full, the whole Brahman has to be lit up. So he felt it as injustice. So that is a very nice qualification of a Rajarishi. Now, Rajarishi is always considered their citizens as their personal children, and they always took their great care. So it is explained that during the regime of Priyavrat Maharaj, which was quite long, it is always given like 11 arbuda. So I don't know how to, you know, this, that's quite long time. So for whenever he realized that, and since then, the whole Brahman remained in light. There was no night. And of course, that was not like a harsh climate. His simultaneous mood was to be giving pleasing light to all his citizens. So it was not like. And of course, another aspect what Shastras explain is the king or the ruler is directly and indirectly responsible for the harsh climate of any country or any place. Directly and indirectly, the Shastras explain. Now, current day people may not be able to relate that how is the ruler, you know, connected to it. But rural, the ruler is responsible for the harsh or the pleasing climate. He takes 1/6 of the sins of the people he is taking care of. His citizens, his pious activities are also shared accordingly. So these are like all details given in Shastras. Manu Samhita talks about it in great detail. So to be in a leadership position is just not like an easy position. You have to take the sins also. So similarly, here we talk about Priyavrat Maharaj. He was feeling it as injustice that half of the people are gaining the benefit. So it's explained that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas explained that by the power of yoga, Priyavrat had two bodies, one as the king and one as the sun. Sun means he was sitting in a chariot which was equally brilliant like the chariot of the sun god. So Priyavrat followed the sun, not to compete with the sun. Of course, followed means he was on the exact 180 degree opposite of the sun, so that there is complete justice given to the sunlight to everyone. So Priyavrat followed the sun, not to compete with the sun, but to give happiness to the inhabitants of the earth. Because of this arrangement, in months like Jyeshta, hot months, The sun made by Priyavrata was cooler than the moon, and in the cool months like Margashirsh, this present, cold months, the sun made by Priyavrata was warmer than the other sun at dawn and dusk. So that sun, and is also explained in other shastras that as we see that sun moves in Uttarayana and Dakshinayana, it's just not a concentric movement in one plane, but it's like moving towards the north and towards the south. Similarly, to make that adjustment, it is explained that Priyavrata made 7 different rathas accordingly, which moved on these different tracts of land with twice the size the previous ratha, while his movement throughout the year. So it's explained that the impressions of Priyavrata's chariot wheels created 7 islands and 7 oceans on Bhumandala, and he gave these islands to his sons to rule. So that is how Bhagavatam explains the formation of these islands and oceans on the surface of Bhumandala. Now, one question someone may raise, that why only 7? Why couldn't there be more? So, of course, one of the reasons, although Priyavrata Maharaj had 2 wives. One was Barishmati, daughter of Vishwakarma, and there was another second wife. From first wife, he had 10 sons, who were equal with their father in qualities, and had the names of demigod Agni, and 1 daughter from the first wife. So out of these 10 sons of the Priyavrata Maharaj, 3 sons were Paramhamsas. The 3 sons were Kavi, Mahavir, and Savana. And they controlled their senses, fixed their minds on the lotus feet of Vasudev, became advanced in pure devotional service, and could directly perceive the Lord, who is the Super Soul, and realize the qualitative non-difference between themselves and the Lord. So they never took up or get into the administrative services. The other 7 sons, which took the names from Agni, and they are explained to be the expansions of demigod Agni. Their name were Agnidha, Idmajiha, Yajnabahu, Hiranyareta, Grhatprishu, Medatithi, Vittihotra. So few of them which we just discussed also while explaining these. And one daughter was Urajaswati, who is explained to be later married to Shukracharya, the guru of the Rakshasas. Shukracharya and Urjavasati gave birth to Devayani. Devayani, we have special pastime. Marriage with Yayati and others. And from second wife, he had 3 sons, Uttama, Tamasa, and Raivata. So they just became the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Manus of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Manvantaras. So they remain dormant, or maybe they are performing austerities to take over the position of Manu in next Manvantaras. Manvantara is a period of 72 or little more Chatur Yugas. So in one day of Brahma, there are 1000 Chatur Yugas, and there are 14 Manvantaras taken care of by 14 different Manus, and each Manvantara is about 72 or more Chatur Yugas. So, these exact dimensions, others are also given in Srimad Bhagavatam and also supporting Puranas like Vayu Puran, Agni Puran, and others also give more details of it. And on more details are also given in our by devotees, you know, who have explored more on Bhagavatam cosmology. And there has been a team of devotees, you know, after making a temple of Vedic planetarium systems, and also on net they are available. So I think we can close here for today. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki. Anyone has any comments or something, clarifications, can take one. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.